The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Powered by the Wall Street Business Network.
This is Business 1440.
KYCR. Golden Valley. A service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Attorney General William Barr says he'll be sending a redacted version of the Mueller report to Congress by mid-April at the latest.
Barr says he's working with a special counsel to redact material prohibited by law, material that could compromise intelligence sources and methods, items that could affect ongoing matters and that could infringe on the privacy of third parties. In a letter to the heads of the Senate and House Judiciary Committees, he says he shares the desire to ensure that Congress and the public have the opportunity to read the report. He says he is well along in the process and he expects to be able to release the report by mid-April, if not sooner.
That's Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Georgia lawmakers have approved a bill to protect preborn infants when a heartbeat can be detected. The measure would effectively prohibit most abortions after 6 weeks. Once signed, the Georgia law would take effect January 1st of 2020 unless it's blocked in court.
Have you experienced anxiety, fear, shame, and embarrassment from owing back taxes? Hi, I'm Kathy Hill, founder of Tax Tiger. If you happen to have unpaid or unfiled taxes, I'm here to offer you some hope. Tax Tiger can protect you from the IRS, release wage and bank levies, and negotiate awesome settlements. Above all, Tax Tiger is a company which operates based on Christian principles. If you have an IRS problem, call us today at 612-888-9522 for a free consultation. You can trust Tax Tiger to provide an honest evaluation of your situation. If we can save you money, we'll explain how and answer all of your questions so you'll know exactly where you stand. Call Tax Tiger today at 612-888-9522. You could be closer to financial freedom than you think, and you need a tiger on your side. That number again is 612-888-9522 or visit us online at taxtiger.com.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Join Dr. King Banyan as he shows you economic charts, graphs, and other visual aids you can't see on the radio here on Business 1440.
Capitalism is not immoral. It's amoral. It requires our instruction. Capitalism has taken more people out of poverty than any other ism, but it is a wild beast. And if not tamed, it can chew up a lot of people.
I didn't recognize that voice, Andrew. Who was that? Oh, really? Bono. Wow. Wow. Well, in that case, where was I? I was in Macy's, and I was actually hearing the Muzak being the actual, I can't remember which song, but it was from U2's first album. Yes, I'm old enough. I still say album. I don't say CD. Get over it. I remember turning to my wife and saying, okay, the end of the world must be near. Now I have to get my head around the fact that Bono is giving quotes about capitalism that actually I don't think are all that bad. By the way, did you know that tonight is Earth Hour? At 8:30 tonight, you are asked to turn off all of your electricity, all your lights, and make a noise. Make a noise for the planet. You know what I'll be doing? I'll be running around the house turning everything on. I'm going to run the washer. I'm going to run the dryer. I'm going to run everything. You know why? Because the price of energy is not rising as it would if energy was becoming more scarce. It's falling. Think about this. And this gets me, actually ties to to one of the points I wanted to make here. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and play the remaining cut from Steve Moore. So Steve Moore gets set up by in this first question. Basically being asked about do you know what the mandate is of the Fed? Do you agree with the president? Do you agree with Jay Powell? Okay, I mean, it is kind of a nasty question the way it's asked. And you know what? Reporters don't have to be nice, although I find if I ask somebody a question nicely, I often get a better answer than when I'm rude to them. Okay. But let's go ahead and play cut number 6, please.
Senate.
Let's presume, though, that if you're looking from what the Fed could do right now to hit this 3.5% to 4% growth that you think is attainable, what does it need to do? Is it dovish for longer? Do we have no rate hikes for the whole of 2019? Do we even see a rate cut coming before a hike?
So, you know, I wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal last week that basically spelled out a monetary policy that I think Donald Trump liked, and I think it might be one of the reasons that he asked me to serve. And what I pointed out, look, I'm for a stable dollar. I think when you were asking me about the dual mandate of the Fed, I think the most important thing that the Fed can do is maintain a currency that remains stable and strong over time. And so my fear is that we've seen slight deflation in the economy over the last 4 or 5 months, and you see that with the commodity prices that have been falling. You just mentioned the fall in the oil price, but it's not just oil prices. Of all the commodities, they've fallen by about 8 to 10% over the last 4 months. That is not inflation. That's deflation. So I'm not saying that's not a dovish policy. It's a policy that says let's make sure that, you know, because deflation can be as harmful for an economy as inflation has. And so I'm worried more on the deflation side right now than the inflation side.
Well, there's no real deflation in the economy by any price measure other than a few commodities.
The commodities are falling.
And the Fed is okay. Probably not going to adopt a commodity price target.
All right. So, and then they go down this real rabbit hole of trying to talk about commodity price targeting. And I do think Moore said something incorrect. He made an argument that he had been advocating back in the late 70s and early 80s for commodity price targeting, and that it had been adopted by Paul Volcker. I've read every book about Volcker, including his own writings. I see no evidence that he ever did pay much attention to commodity prices. I just don't. I think on that he's wrong. Okay, doesn't mean he can't be a good governor at the Federal Reserve. I think that particular viewpoint's incorrect. But let's go back to the other piece. Is there deflation going on? Is there deflation going on? So the guy says in the last 4 months. Well, I didn't measure the last 4 months, but let's look at some commodity prices I have in front of me from the website tradingeconomics.com. Prices of a variety of pieces. I'm going to just read one after the other, and I'm going to give you the yearly change. Remember, we don't like wiggles. We like to. We don't react to weekly movements. We wait for a trend to develop, and it often takes 6 months to a year for a trend to develop. Let's look. Crude oil down 7.664% year for the year. Brent up 1%. Natural gas down a fraction. Gasoline down 4%. Yes, I know the price at your pump right now is higher. Guess what? That's because Minnesota requires ethanol, and all the ethanol plants in Iowa and Nebraska are flooded. Okay, I don't have time to talk about that. I wish I could. Heating oil down 0.5%. Ethanol actually down 4.5% year over year, although spiking in the last week. Naphtha down 7%. Propane down 13%. Uranium up 19%. Okay, there's one that's up. Gold down 2.5%. Silver down 7.5%. Platinum down 9%. Palladium up 48%. There's a variety of prices. You can find prices that rise and prices that fall. But I can go into the ag pieces. Soybeans down 15%. Thank you, tariffs. Cotton down 4%. Rice down 12%. Palm oil down 16%. Milk up 6%. But orange juice down 14%. Coffee down 19%. Let me go into livestock. All those prices in livestock are up. Live cattle 10.5%. Hogs 35%. Beef 10%. Poultry 48%. All right, so yes, meat prices are rising. Okay, point in that favor. But the industrial metals, copper down 3.5, steel up 4.8. That's the tariffs. Okay, so is he wrong to say there's deflation? Depends on the window you're looking at, but he's not wrong. And if you want to cherry pick and find a number to do it, it's fine. Again, the people who are dealing with these folks are the reporters who are interviewing people like Steve Moore and Larry Kudlow and Neil Kashkari. They have a narrative in mind. What's the narrative? The narrative is the sky is falling. I don't see evidence that the sky is falling. I don't see evidence. I mean, I see evidence that a recession could be coming in the next 12 to 18 months. Recessions are not the sky is falling. Recessions are short-term pauses in the growth of GDP, in long-term growth. Can the economy grow 3.5% to 4% with an ideal mix of regulatory, fiscal, and monetary policy? Possibly. That imagines a growth in productivity that I'm having trouble figuring out how that happens. But it's possible that some combination that has a heavy component of investment might work. But instead, we get this guy saying, well, there's been no deflation in the last 4 months. You can't say that on the basis of the last 4 months. And it's because Steve Moore has said, I want a 50 basis point cut in the Fed funds rate. And that's why I think you had people like Kashkari, but like Kashkari, let's go ahead and repeat this cut, Andrew. Neil Kashkari on Maria Bartiromo on Fox Business just yesterday, basically pushing back on that narrative. Cut number two, please.
You're not so sure if things are slowing.
I'm not sure. I mean, right now, while we had a weak job report in the last job report, a very weak job report, it was on the back of two very strong reports. I think it's still around 180,000 jobs a month, a three-month average. And so let's see what the next job report looks like. Let's see what, we know Q1 is slow. Let's see what Q2 looks like. I think we need a lot more data before we can conclude that the economy is really slowing.
Now, is he saying that because he really believes it? Take a look at his history. Or is he saying that because all of a sudden the people who are pushing for softer interest rates include people like Steve Moore or like Larry Kudlow, who came out on CNBC yesterday, first an interview with the New York Times and then on Bloomberg and then on CNBC. I mean, he was making the rounds yesterday, backing the idea of Steve Moore saying that we need a 50 basis point cut. Understand, I can believe two things at the same time. I can believe it's perfectly fine if Steve Moore becomes a governor at the Fed and believe that a 50 basis point cut is the wrong direction to move monetary policy. Right. Steve Moore doesn't get to decide what interest rates are. That's done by a vote of 12. And then Moore would have one of those 12 votes. It's not likely he's the one changing the outcome. If you've ever watched the FOMC statements or watched the Fed operate, they're very much a consensus bunch. You get one or two people dissenting. President Bullard, who is, you know, spoke up here, is actually a graduate of St. Cloud State and is on my advisory council, so I get a chance to talk with him from time to time. He's been a dissenting vote. And it would be interesting for someone to talk about, well, how is it that you make the decision to dissent? And what's the pressure like to be part of the consensus? I can tell you the pressure is quite strong. I've not had a discussion with Jim about this specifically, but I've talked to some other Fed governors and Fed presidents, and I read minutes, I read the transcripts. I don't just read the minutes. I read transcripts. And the conversations are always extremely pleasant. And when someone decides to dissent, everyone's like, well, okay, but this is the way we're going. And that's it. So I can believe that, but at the same time think we don't need a 50 basis point cut. But I will say the evidence of a recession that would support Moore and Kudlow, I actually think Kashkari has landed on the right answer. We need more information before we could make a rate cut. And I actually don't believe the chances of recession are 1 in 4 for this year. I think they're probably I think they're about 1 in 4 or 1 in 5. And I think that's an argument for wait and see rather than taking out a massive rate cut that makes rates that all of a sudden tries to get us back in there. I think there's a reason why for this, and I'm going to explain to you why they're doing this coming up right next here on the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
What kind of beer?
Who wants total contentment or beer when you can have Meatmasters Radio?
Meatmasters Radio is a covert caper that helps rogue warriors up their barbecue game. Grilling and meat smoking tips, recipes, and talk.
Beer is the nectar of the nitwit.
No more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
Tune in for Meatmasters Radio Saturdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 11 a.m. on Business 1440.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-290-7100. That's 800-290-7100, 800-290-7100.
This is Albert Mogler for townhall.com. The state of Colorado is moving to pass a new sex education bill that would bar abstinence-only education. The legislation itself is troubling, but when concerns are raised, proponents are pointing out that parents have an opt-out provision. Patrick Neville, writing in the Denver Post, took a closer look. This claim that parents can genuinely opt out their kids is not only bizarre, he said, it's also deeply misleading. They do this by identifying four different categories of instruction, then saying that human sexuality teaching occurs only when two or more of these categories are discussed. That is not anything close to genuine parental information or consent. It's a massive intentional loophole. What we are watching is a sexual revolution in progress. They are focused on the children, adolescents, and young people. Don't miss the reason why. It's because the sexual revolutionaries know that they will win if they can get to our kids by going around their parents. I'm Albert Moeller.
Publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
A worn-out battery can cause your phone to die really quickly. Don't pay to upgrade to a new phone. Let Arby's replace your old worn-out iPhone battery with a new one. We can also replace screens, cameras, and power connections so you can give your iPhone problems the boot.
Giving your computer problems the boot. Arby's Computer Service.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show. So I've been reading a number of pieces. I just read this morning, or started to read, John Malden's latest newsletter at Malden Capital. And John's view is that the recession is pretty much at hand. 651-289-4477. If you have an opinion about that, be happy to hear it. Or opinion about Steve Moore, I'd like to share that as well. I don't necessarily think so, and I mean, there is plenty of evidence, but Charles in Louis Vincent Gave at GaveCal Research put up something that I find quite persuasive, which is to look at this. Think about there being four prices that you have to look at in terms of thinking about economic cycles. I like prices because prices I can look at every day, and I'm getting actual movements based on people who are actually putting money down to win and to try to earn a profit. So they've processed information in their own mind, they've formed opinions, and they have put their money where their mouths are. I like prices as a way to measure, to get an indicator of what's happening. So GaveCal decides to put these four prices in its mind. The yield on long-term bonds, the spread on corporate yields versus long-term treasuries, the price of oil, and the value of the U.S. dollar. Okay. If you look, bond yields, of course, everywhere in the world look fairly low. In the U.S., the real yields net of inflation, are now down at 0.7%. That's as low as they were in the period between 2011 and 2016. They are not a break on economic activity. If you want to borrow money and you can't earn a 1% real return on your investment, you probably shouldn't be making that investment. Investments are happening, right? We see that in the stock market. So, you know, my gosh, did you see Lyft yesterday? What was that? Hang on, let me grab the opens. Okay, Lyft has yet to make a dollar in profit, but it opens at $72 a share yesterday. Trades as high as 86 and change before ending the day at 78.29. My heavens! Does that sound like we're screeching to a recession? No, it might be the speculative bubble before we head to a recession, but we're not there yet. It's possible. But not there yet. There's lots of corporate debt out there, but the spread between corporate debt rates and treasury bond rates are within their usual average, running right around 2% or a little less than 2%. Okay, that rate, that spread in 2008-2009 shot up through 2.5% to reach in the depths of the recession as high as 5%. We are not yet, we are in the middle of the usual path, the usual channel in which the corporate yield spread goes. Oil prices, which had risen which had risen in the first half of 2018. They're currently now running at $60 a barrel. Oil is about $12 a barrel below its 10-year moving average. Oil prices are reasonably low. So the oil, which was a major break on the economy in 2008, isn't in a break right now. And then the last one, which I think is where folks like Kudlow and Moore, and I think to some extent the president, are going, is on the value of the dollar. They have tried awfully hard to talk the dollar down, which is unusual for Kudlow. Kudlow usually wants a strong dollar, but as a member of the Trump administration, he's had to change his tune to stay in line with the preferences of his boss. But if you look at the rate rate of the dollar versus other currencies and a basket of other currencies, it's been in this really tight window, not moving more than 5 or 6% one way or the other, for about 5 years now. But I think this is the issue. I think they don't want the dollar to break out of that channel and go higher. And I think the 2000 recession was preceded by a spike in the dollar. The dollar got significantly stronger between 1998 and 2000. It did not in 2008-2009. But I do believe that if there's a recession to come, this is the price that you have to watch, is the dollar exchange rate. And so far, it's been okay. And that's why I say, I'm not sure I'm ready to call a national recession yet, but I kind of need to see that. In the meantime, why are they calling for a rate cut? Because a rate cut would make the dollar depreciate, and that's something that certainly President Trump favors. You don't hear him say this in it, but think about a drop in the exchange rate and how that would impact the kind of analysis that Larry Kudlow is making. I want you to go to cut number three, Andrew. This was Larry Kudlow on CNBC yesterday afternoon on Power Lunch.
They were positive. I may be wrong about
four tenths of a percent or
corporate tax revenues fell because of the immediate impact. However, we will see those tax revenues start picking up as a consequence of the better growth. You have to take a cash hit initially, but the incentive effect is growing the economy. This is a supply-side driven economy. This is not aggregate demand. This is not one-time tax rebates. People say it's a sugar high and that's it. Nonsense. We lowered marginal tax rates for everybody across the board. The biggest ones were for business, long overdue to make us competitive, both large and small companies. Now, that process of re-incentivizing the economy, that process is going to go on for many years. Remember, think of this way. The big companies take a while to turn around their long-term investment plans. Now, we had a good start in 2018. A lot of people anticipated it in late 2017. I don't think that process is finished.
No, and the expensing provisions don't disappear.
That's correct.
Either.
Corporate tax rate doesn't disappear. And we're also seeing a phenomenal increase in repatriated overseas revenues and profits. That's one of the...
But not $4 trillion.
Hang on a second. I was just looking at some of those numbers.
It's a lot.
On a cash basis, I think the Joint Tax Committee estimated year one we might get $100 billion or so.
It's
getting like $750 billion and still rolling. So that's another sleeper factor.
There's a few really important points in this piece. First off, he's making an argument that I've made. I mean, on this, I've made about what's the real impact of the tax cut. It is true that tax revenues typically fall as you're entering during recessions, but they're typically lagging indicators. They don't fall before the recession happens. They usually fall in the second half of a recession. So I think, unless you think we've been in a recession since mid 2018,
you can't point to that and say, well, that's a signal the recession's coming. It's not a leading indicator. It's a lagging indicator. Okay? And I thought the piece at the end was really, really important. If indeed $750 billion of capital has moved back into the United States on a cash basis, those dollars are to be invested in this particular economy. And he could be right. He could be right that that's where the investment boom comes as we go into the second half of the year. I mean, the money comes over as cash first. You don't just move it out and immediately have a plant to invest in or a technology to invest in at that particular moment, right? Is money moving back here because we're solving the tax issue here? Maybe. But again, it is simply too soon to say. So even though I believe the reason for some people at the Fed saying we need more data before we move, I think it's because they're the people. Some of the people saying it, like Kashkari, weren't singing that tune 6 to 8 months ago. They wanted a stop and maybe even a reversal, and they believe that at least some people, such as Bullard, have been willing to say, "Hey, the last increase." I think that might have been a mistake, but even he is now, if I don't have time to play him today because I promised you I'd do modern monetary theory, but even he would say right now, I think we want to wait before we start trying to move rates down. He's a voting member, and he's voting to keep rates constant. He hasn't dissented on holding rates steady, at least not yet. No, I'm not going to ask him that when I see him next. I think it is telling. It is telling. But the people who are hearing this are trying to trap, because if you're out for a rate cut, as it sounds like he is, like Kudlow is, if you're out like Moore is, then are you saying that the Trump expansion has failed? That's what they're trying to catch them at. And I'll give you one more example of this, and then we'll talk about modern monetary theory right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Share, like, comment, tweet. Are these foreign terms to your business? They may not be to your competition and the reason you're losing sales. Social media marketing is on the verge of dominating commerce. The right social media strategy can help you slay the competition and gain new customers. We're Salem Surround. We take the mystery of digital marketing off your shoulders, letting you run your business while we deliver customers. Your competition is already social. Catch them and surpass them. We offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales. We know how to make every digital dollar count towards sales success. Now there are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI. Learn more by logging on to surroundmsp.com. SurroundMSP.com, connecting you with new customers.
If it was 1990, you'd be listening to your favorite radio station on that bulky boombox that burns through D batteries faster than you can say, "You've got mail." Well, thankfully, it's the 21st century, and there are much better alternatives. For example, just ask Alexa to tune in.
Alexa, play Business Radio 1440.
Throw out that old beeper and get with the times. Listen to your favorite Business 1440 hosts and shows with Alexa and Amazon Echo.
I had never been a trader. I hadn't even really studied a whole lot. And so I was brand new to this. My name is Sam. I'm a student with OTA.
Tell me why you decided to take classes from Online Trading Academy.
I just was kind of at a crossroads. I wanted to look for my next business opportunity. And financial markets had always just kind of appealed to me. Actually, what's nice about everything here with OTA, they can teach you to trade with very small amounts of money and really build everything up from the ground floor. So you really don't need a lot of money to get going with this. really amazing instructors.
How has Online Trading Academy changed your life?
I'm a little bit more in control of my destiny going forward. I'm not quite as worried about contract to contract and know that I have some other sources of income.
Join us for a free investing class by calling #250 on your cell phone and use the keyword OTA or go to learnwithota.com.
Step into a Chet's-owned Red Wing store this season for non-insulated, waterproof, and water-resistant footwear.
Need new boots for summer work?
Check out our variety of steel, aluminum, and composite safety toe options.
Don't forget our selection of regular toe footwear either.
Too busy with projects this season to get to the store?
Ask us about our mobile shoe service, where we bring the store to you.
Or stop in to see us in Columbia Heights, Coon Rapids, Circle Pines, Bloomington, and St. Cloud.
Work is our work.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show. This is 1440. It's good to be with you. Looks like it's going to be a nice early spring day. Hopefully, temperatures warm up. Maybe you're hanging out in the garage today and had to turn the heater on in there. Hopefully, everything's going well for you. 651-289-4477, the number to call. Questions and comments. The recession that everyone seems to think is happening, in which now the Trump administration is trying to get the Fed to deal with, because they can't get another. They can't get another tax cut through, and they don't want to admit that they don't want to be seen saying that their tax cut has failed, particularly when they get treated badly. I'm just going to go ahead and play this. I just want you to listen to the rhetoric in this particular question. Larry Kudlow yesterday on Power Lunch on CNBC basically gets asked, okay, does the Trump love the chair of the Fed? Does the Trump and then get sideswiped? I just have to talk about this just for a second before I do MMT. Play cut number four, please, Andrew.
Should not tighten just because of prosperity.
So how unhappy is the president with Chair Powell at this rate?
Well, look, he's had his views on Chair Powell. They had dinner together. I couldn't make the dinner. He's our chairman. We're not going to displace him, things of that sort. So I don't want to get into any of the personalities.
Is he unhappy with the Treasury Secretary as a result of all this?
Steven Mnuchin has been a terrific Treasury Secretary. He's one of the president's closest advisors and friends. So the answer to that is, I believe, no.
Okay, so what the heck was that about? Well, I can tell you why. They made a big deal. So There's a ceremony. The Chinese and the Americans are still talking about a trade deal. They're already in overtime. Okay, let's not complain about Brexit. China and the U.S. were supposed to have this thing done by the 1st of March. It's going to be April or May before they finish up their work. But they're talking to each other, and they looked happy. But everyone was making a big deal about the fact that negotiations in Beijing, when they came out, Liu He, the vice premier of China and the head of basically everything to do with the Chinese economic policy, shakes hands first with Robert Lighthizer, the trade representative, with Steve Mnuchin standing behind him looking like the second. And then they switch positions. And everyone was looking at like, wait a second. Is Mnuchin on the way out? Is this a sign that he doesn't have the power in that conversation, that the power's with Lighthizer? Okay. This is the kind of silliness that these folks are having to put up with. Another bit of silliness that they're having to put up with is discussion, in my mind, silliness, is this discussion about modern monetary theory. So, as I've said before, in case you're new to the show, you just happen by, I'm an economist that was trained in the 70s and 80s out in Southern California at a university called Claremont Graduate School, now Claremont Graduate University. I've been a professor of economics for 35 years, currently serving as a dean. Because I was in graduate school in the 70s and 80s, I read a lot of economic theory that came from everywhere all the way back to before John Maynard Keynes. I don't think students these days, grad students these days, spend much time reading economic theory that was written 100 years ago. I did. Not because I wanted to do history of economic thought, but because we were in the middle of a revolution of what was happening. The Keynesian monetarism debate, which had characterized where we had been for quite some time through the 60s and the 70s, was being supplanted by new classical economics, rational expectations, post-Keynesianism, and then new Keynesianism, and so forth. I mean, we're going through these different cycles of theories. And the only way I thought as a grad student I could understand them was to actually try to read source materials whenever I could. So I had a nice study carol in Honnold Library that is the university library for all of the Claremont colleges, which is a Oxford-style, Cambridge-style, six different colleges that sit bordering each other, I mean, across the street from each other, and you can study at any of the six, and they share some services, one of them being the library. So the library had great things. I remember spending some time trying to read the transition from Keynes to the Keynesians that came after him, because Keynes died, as you may know, in 1946, right after World War II, so he had helped design the international monetary system, including the IMF and the World Bank, but didn't live to actually see their implementation. And he didn't see the use of his general theory in the post-World War Western economies. And so I was trying to read about this. One guy I read was an economist, a Russian, who had emigrated to the States by the name of Abba Lerner. Now, Abba Lerner wrote a theory that was called functional finance. But what that meant was government deficits didn't matter because the people that held the deficits were the same people receiving the benefits of government spending. So when debt was out of hand, it wasn't really out of hand because it was just money we owed to ourselves, that people were able to see that the debt they held was going to be covered by their future taxes. This later became something called Ricardian equivalence. It was a theory developed by a monetarist or rational expectations theorist named Robert Barrow, who's still pretty active in economics today. But what Lerner had said was, you can have deficits 4, 5, 6, 7%. Doesn't really matter because you can always issue debt to do that. Now, I made the point to a Twitter follower this morning. I brought up this idea about $100 bills. Did you know that we've been massively increasing since 2008 the number of $100 bills we print? Most of them actually go overseas. It's an awesome deal for the United States, right? It's an awesome deal. Why? Because those $100 bills are non-interest-bearing debt of the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is quasi-public, but in its quasi-publicness, it chooses to remit all of its extra revenue at the end of the year back to the U.S. Treasury. So when it can print a $100 bill, acquire a resource for it, perhaps buying away a treasury security, it can then return the principal and interest back to the treasury at the end of the year. In essence, if it can sell $100 bills to international investors, what the heck? Let her rip. Print a bunch of them. Let's fix the roads. Let's have national health care. We can do all of this. Because we have the reserve currency, and having the reserve currency is awesome. It's awesome because, in other words, people in economies as far flung as China and Argentina and Brazil and South Africa and Russia and all these places are financing our deficits, and they would be willing to keep doing it forever. Well, they don't really say that. So I tweeted to you a piece that was in Bloomberg about a week before last. And so what they say basically is not that the deficit doesn't matter anymore. What they say really is that the debt doesn't matter. Okay, so the piece starts with modern monetary theory proposes a country with its own currency doesn't have to worry about accumulating too much debt because it can always print money to pay interest. So the only constraint on spending is inflation, which can break out if public and private sectors spend too much at the same time. Here's the piece they forget. It's not just the public and private sector in your own economy. It can be those who are holding those $100 bills overseas. The size of that number is kind of staggering, right? There's approximately about $1.4 trillion in $100 bills that have been printed, and about a trillion of it is in the hands of people overseas. Suppose they all of a sudden decided, you know what? I don't want to hold my wealth, which they just kind of put in the mattress because a $100 bill will retain its value while your ruble or rand or whichever currency Brazil's using this year, while those depreciate rapidly, your dollars buy almost as much as they did the year before. Inflation in the United States is running below 2%, so there really isn't an opportunity cost to holding it. So I'm using it as a store of wealth, and I'm happy about that because I can rely on the fact that if I have a U.S. $100 bill, I almost always can get somebody else to give me something for it, be it a nice dinner, as partial payment for a new car or house, rent, just about anything. It's a wonderful thing to have that. What modern monetary theory says is as long as the U.S. has that, it doesn't have to worry about how much debt it creates. It only has to worry about whether or not there's a lot of inflation. As long as it keeps inflation under control, the size of the debt doesn't matter. The problem is the size of the debt actually does influence inflation. So you do have to, in fact, keep it under control. It's really quite confusing. I'll come back and see if I can't clarify just a titch of that confusion right after this. You're listening to the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
Business 1440 is KYCR Golden Valley.
This Friday, don't miss The Best of Enemies, starring Academy Award nominee Taraji P. Henson.
I play Ann Atwater, a civil rights activist who was able to approach hate with love.
And Academy Award winner Sam Rockwell.
All the better if you don't get in my way.
Well, I'm going to get in your way.
If you change one heart, you can change the world.
I have a Bible.
And then you ought to know, same God made you, made me.
The Best of Enemies, based on the untold true story. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters Friday.
G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free. I want to personally thank all my Plug-In Pest Free customers who have taken the time out to call, write, and who have left messages to thank me for ridding their homes and businesses of unwanted rodent and pest problems. So from me to you, I thank you. Plug-In Pest Free is the only scientifically tested and, more importantly, consumer-proven electromagnetic pest management system since 1995. Why put up with those annoying rodents and pests any longer? Plug-In Pest Free is 100% chemical-free, making it your safest bet to manage your rodent and pest problems around your family and pets. With a 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com today.
It may not require a textbook,
but it's filled with valuable lessons. It may not take place in a classroom, but it's an ideal environment for learning. It may not involve a diploma, but it can help prepare Minnesota's young people for life. It's high school sports. High school sports can play a critical role in a student's overall education. In fact, studies show that students that participate in high school sports are more likely to enjoy greater levels of achievement in their academic lives. If you think high school sports are only about competition, think again. Better yet, think about attending a high school sporting event in your community. You'll be amazed by what you see. High school sports, a winning part of a complete education. This message presented by the Minnesota State High School League and the Minnesota Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Blue Ox Heating and Air. Legendary service, install and repair. We'll fix anything with legendary care.
Blue Ox has a legendary deal for you. When you purchase a high-efficiency furnace, you'll get an air conditioner free. You heard that right. A free air conditioner with the purchase of a high-efficiency furnace, giving you the comfort you deserve.
Blue Ox Heating and Air. Legendary service, install and repair. We'll fix anything with legendary care.
We should go away. These feelings are foreign, but they won't go away, and they're here to stay. Oh, can't nobody replicate this feeling.
Welcome back, King Banyan Show, Business 1440. Let me get to the nub of this, which is the, because we only have about 6 minutes left to take you to the end of this idea of what modern monetary theory is. So here's basically what it says. I've tweeted two pieces to you along with the Bloomberg story, one of them by Scott Sumner, who is quite critical of MMT. And then by David Andolfato, who's actually an economist down at the St. Louis Fed, not a proponent of MMT, but believes that we are misunderstanding the viewpoint. MMT partly gets slammed for the fact that its proponents are typically people who are at universities or think tanks that are not considered in the top. They're not the elite schools. Andolfato makes that point quite clear. If you look at the Chicago Booth School survey of economists and see who they ask, they're all from top 20 shops, and the people who've come out with this thing are not. I've said Steve Moore's perfectly fine to be a Fed governor, not because I agree with him, but because I don't happen to think that experts being in that job have really helped. If anything, it's hurt because people pretend to know more than they really do. Particularly when they get to positions of some real power. I want people making policy to be really modest and to follow a Hippocratic oath of first do no harm. I don't know, could you find places where Steve Moore has suggested some policy that would have been harmful? Yeah, well, I mean, the guy's an opinion writer. He writes opinions and markets policies. He probably hasn't gotten them all right, and I'm going to guess that you could go through his record and say that and find the places where he said something that was wrong. I can find them, and I'll call them wrong when I do. That doesn't mean that the people there should have to go through some entrance exam to become a governor at the Fed. Right, to rely on the old William F. Buckley line, I'd rather pick I'm going to butcher this, I know. I'd rather pick the first 100 people in the Boston public phone directory to run my government than the 100 people in the U.S. Senate. Well, I forget, it's something like that. I would rather have monetary policy set by people from off the street. Done randomly, but told, here's the major impact of what you're trying to change. You don't have to be a master sailor to steer the ship of monetary policy from one place to another. I was playing with this game at the Bank of England when I was there back in the early part of the month. And they pretended that monetary policy was like sailing a boat. No, it's not. It's not even close. Okay, and it was funny because I was watching someone else. This one other person wanted to play against me, and he's cranking this way, he's cranking that way, and it turned out what you had to do if you wanted to steer the boat right was slow and steady and make small adjustments rather than large ones. That makes sense. Modern monetary theory that makes sense only in the following sense. When you're deciding whether or not to invest in something, you're going to decide whether or not the return on the investment is worth the opportunity cost, the rate you'll pay. The rate you'll pay is the real interest rate, which is about seven tenths of a percent. Not too high, not too low. It's not negative, but it's not very high. If government borrows money for things that can actually give us a real return of 2% a year, okay, be that new roads and bridges, or be that better health care, or what have you. If there's something that can do that, there's an economic argument to be made for that. You don't really need modern monetary theory to make that case. It's pretty simple. But confusing non-interest-bearing debt with equity is kind of ridiculous. Which is, I think, part of what modern monetary theory does. That's the part of it that Andolfato puts in his story that I say, well, it's just wrong. The liabilities of the Federal Reserve are indeed liabilities. They're not a representation of net worth. True, it's fiat money. True, you can't go get gold with it. Going off the gold standard is real, and it means that your dollars are only backed by their ability for them to purchase goods because other people are willing to hold that. That doesn't mean they're worthless. If we all went to the Federal Reserve and said we want something different for this, eventually they would have to give us something else. You know what they have on the asset side of their balance sheet? They have other currencies around the world. And eventually those would be what they'd have to sell if it turned out the treasury holdings on their balance sheet or those mortgage-backed securities were worthless. It's debt. It's not equity, and that's the mistake the modern monetary theory makes. Well, that's it for today. There was your lesson. Boy, that was a downer to end. Well, it's been a downer up here too. The Huskies are out of the hockey tournament. That's too bad. Go Purdue. I'll be watching basketball for the rest of the weekend. You have a great week. Thank you, Andrew, for the production work, and we'll see you next week for a Job Saturday here on the King Banyan Show on Business 1440.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Group, DBA Cash Call Mortgage, 19500 Jamboree Road, Irvine, California, 92612, and MLS 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing terms and restrictions.
Okay, here's the deal. You're a freelancer, a hired hand, a self-made, self-owned business of one. Whether you're a contractor, creative director, or consultant, you're the boss. And that makes things easy. Unless, of course, you're trying to get a mortgage. When it comes to qualifying for a cash-out refi, gig economy workers come with more obstacles, more complexities, and more stress, right? Wrong. Dial 800-815-0745, and one of our cash-out mortgage specialists will help you qualify for the lowest interest loan possible, regardless of your source of income. It's the easiest call you'll make all day. Dial 800-815-0745. That's 800-815-0745. Make the cash call today. That's 800-815-0745.
All right, here's the great selling point of Relief Factor. Well, actually, the greatest selling point is that it works for the great majority of people who use it. But the big selling factor is really this. You can get all the pain relief benefits of Relief Factor without the negative side effects of ibuprofen. A couple of years ago, with great sciatic pain, I would take ibuprofen a lot, and it helped, but the side effects were so awful after a while that I just had to discontinue use. But that's not the problem with Relief Factor. So that's huge. So if you've been using any form of ibuprofen, now you don't have to with Relief Factor. Go to relieffactor.com, check out the pricing, and please give it a try because pain is pretty awful. Or call 800-500-8384. That's relieffactor.com.
Hey, it's Lee Michaels here with one of the newest members to the Patriot family. So proud to be associated with the Mike Murphy team with eXp Realty. And with us is Sharon Murphy. So great to have you here, Sharon.
Well, thanks, Lee. We're excited to work with the Patriot and your listeners.
So tell us, what makes eXp Realty so different?
Well, eXp is a cloud-based brokerage. We like to call it the future of real estate. A lot of people get frustrated with the gimmicks and overpromises of many other real estate agents. Who can blame them? We pride ourselves on being different. No gimmicks, just great service. When you call our number, you'll speak to me or my husband, Mike, not an inexperienced team member.
That's great. So how do we get a hold of you?
Give us a call at 651-216-7870 or go to MikeMurphyTeam.com.
So if you're thinking of selling your home, check out Mike Murphy Team with eXp Realty, 651-216-7870 or online at MikeMurphyTeam.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.